And we're going to call our teaching a surrender of the will, a surrender of the will. In actual fact, our whole walk in this life is God working, influencing our will. God has a will, and his will is sovereign. And everything that he wills will come to pass. And it includes his whole being, his whole attributes, his holiness, everything that he is and was and always will be. The will of God is appropriate, is all involved with his will. He cannot go against his will. He cannot choose a different path. He has willed everything from the foundation of the world. Everything that God has willed will come to pass, every jot and tittle. And because we are made in the image of God, we also have a will. And if God doesn't, in his will and wisdom, take the initiative to move on our behalf, then what we will to do will be completely contrary to the will and plan and purpose of Almighty God. One of the things that we learn in our salvation, when we are in union with God, where we become one with God, there is a surrendering over of the will. God wants a harmony of our will with his will, so that we are pleased to do his will. We take delight in his will. But for that to be achieved, it requires the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit. And it's a walk. It's the deeper life. Again, it's all a harmony of will. His will, our will, in harmony with him. And that is really what the Holy Spirit is doing with us. He has had work over the years in our lives, in our hearts, that we might even be here tonight, listening to the word, having fellowship, coming online. We, all of us, could do something completely different, whatever we want to do. We know this is the will of God, that we are together, fellowshipping, hearing from him. That is a surrender. That is the will, the two wills coming into harmony, into oneness. It's the Father taking delight in us. That blessing, that peace, that harmony that we have with him and each other, which is called fellowship. Fellowship can only be through two wills coming together in agreement. And so I want to look at this tonight, a surrender of the will. Have we deliberately committed our wills to the Lord? It is a good question. Maybe some have, maybe some haven't. But I believe that sooner or later, when you walk with God, you're going to find that there is a desire to commit your will in harmony and oneness to his will. Because that's really the only way it can work. That is the only way that two can agree and walk together. Because we have found what our own will can do, which can cause us to go in an opposite direction to God's will, which can cause us all sorts of problems. And of course, we see that right through Scripture with all the saints that God has saved. There he's working with their will, was working with Israel as a nation with their will. You see, the will of man has fallen. When man fell into sin, so did his will. He no longer had that real desire to do the will of God. In fact, before he fell, he wasn't aware in the sense of a will. He was in harmony and fellowship and unity with Almighty God. It is absolutely tragic. It is such a shame that through sin, we have an understanding that we are willful and that we can choose to do completely the opposite to the will of God. We should never have been exposed to all of that. It's not what it was about. But however, man has fallen and God has provided through his Son and shown that he has drawn us back into covenant, into fellowship with him. And therefore, through the new birth, through fellowship, through the work, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God is most certainly working with our wills if we let him. And it's that question, if we let him. And some professing Christians don't like the idea of a surrendering of the will. Man wants to be independent, and yet he wants to have God in his life, but it doesn't work. The two are completely opposed, as we know. And so in many ways, there comes sooner or later in our walk a sort of, if you like, a transaction, a giving over of the will, not my will, but thy will be done. Let's look at how the will can work, how the will can work in crisis, how the will can work in different situations, circumstances, how our will is working in many ways each day. We are always making decisions, which was the will. How is it all functioning? Are we doing it right? Is it God's will or not? You know, one of the things that many believers find, and sometimes we find, is this God's will for my life? Does God want me to do that? Does he want me to move to that new place or wherever it would be? And many, many times we have to wait. We know that God confirms and reconfirms. That's one of the ways in which God works. He works with us. This is why we know that we should never rush into anything, be rash, but wait on the Lord. The school of waiting is so that we learn to know the will of God as he reveals it to us, and we move in accordance to that light, to that revelation, to his will. That is what harmony of wills is. That's what the surrendering the will up to God is about. but it's also a learning curve. It's a daily routine. It's a walk. It's learning what the will of the Lord is in so many situations. This is why it can only take the Holy Spirit who can do that work. We would fall on our faces otherwise. So let's turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. And I primarily want to look at verses 7 to 9. But here, it's a story of where Jesus has risen, and he's appearing to the disciples, and indeed many others. And the disciples have decided to go out and fish. They're probably going back, they're thinking of going back to their old profession. And we'll take it up actually from verse 4, I think, of John 21, verse 4. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they have to follow Jesus' command here. Cast it on the right side. Not the left, the right. Which of course they do. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, drawing the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." And so the story goes on. It's interesting here, isn't it? But have you ever had some crisis in your life? Something where it's important enough where you have to drop everything? Because that's what was going on there. It was so important that they had caught fish, their nets were natural, should have broke, but they didn't. This in many ways is their livelihood. They could be saying to themselves, "Wow, we can make a lot of money out of this, selling all this lot." But they had realized there was something going on here. This was the Lord Jesus calling them back, calling Peter back. And something that God had done with these disciples and with Peter, they knew that this was the Lord. They had learnt enough to obey him, to cast the net on the right side and not disobey. There was something that they had learnt. They had been trained up to this point as soldiers, as disciples, just like you and I. But here, something unusual has happened. He's risen. He's there. He's got food. He's got a fire. Notice how he comes with comfort, food, fellowship, love. Notice the nature of how the Lord comes and appears to them. And what do? They drop everything. And we, when it's a crisis, we often drop everything, don't we? to help out. We go if somebody is ill, or help is needed, or help is needed in the house, or somebody is not well. Sometimes we drop things, don't we, to help out. Or sometimes there's a crisis where your son gets arrested and you have to drop everything to go and find out what's going on or go to the police. It's interesting that there are people that also make a profession out of crisis. And you know who they are? They're called police. They're called ambulance drivers or paramedics, firemen. They are people who move into crisis. They are trained to leave everything and move immediately into that situation. But they have to be trained for that. And part of that training is also influencing the will to do it. Not all are willing to become firemen, to go into a blaze, or the possibility of perishing. Not all are willing to do that, but some are. Some are willing to become police, to go on the front line, but not all are. And so what is in operation? At the end of the day, it's their will. They decide they will to do that, you see? Some people do great acts. Maybe they see somebody who's fallen into the sea or a lake or can't swim. They jump in after them. They don't think about it. They just respond to try and save that person. I'm bringing all of this up because I want you to get this idea of the surrendering of the will, in our case as Christians, over to God, God's will in our life. However, we have to learn that this true surrendering of the will, or this transaction of the will, has to be an internal work. It has to be something that God's working in the heart, both you and I, that is able to do this. You see, what I spoke about earlier, about those police ambulance drivers and firemen and so on, they're doing that externally. Some of them do it, it's because it's their profession. But many believers sadly think that that's doing the will of God by some act in that way. And most certainly we can do that. We can and should respond if there's needs. But be careful that you do not see that as Christian works that make you better in the eyes of God. Because that's not what it's about. Works don't save us. It is the grace and mercy of God that saves us, our faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what saves us. So we need to know what is in operation. Because many believers think that is the will of God. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which we're taught in the Lord's Prayer. You see, when we surrender or give over or transact our will, whatever the emotions or whatever, it is as a result the surrendering of the will to do God's will. And there is a difference. You see, some of us do it emotionally. Some, after hearing this teaching, will want to get before God as quick as possible, but you may be surrendering by emotions. The surrendering that God is looking for comes by a work of the Holy Spirit, comes by seeing what the Word of God says. The surrendering of the will is not about emotions. It's not about feelings. It's about pleasing God. It's about doing His will, obedience. And there's a vast difference, brothers and sisters. Emotions will never let you surrender to God's will. You think you are. It's not until a crisis comes, a test comes in your life, where you will see whether the will of God, your will, is surrendered to the will of God or not. That is why God allows us to go through trials and tribulations. We spoke much about that on Sunday. And that is online if you want to hear that teaching. But tonight I'm talking about the will. And these trials that we go through shows us where our will is. Are we surrendering to the will of God, or are we willful? And only God can reveal that in His mercy and grace. You see, so often we're faced, aren't we, with decisions, moral issues. But we determine to surrender the will at that point, whatever it is. Whatever we're facing, whatever decision, whether it's a moral or ethical decision, we surrender at that point. Our whole life should be each day, if we take up our cross and follow the Lord, in attitude and heart and nature, is a surrendering to God. So that the will of God can be accomplished and work through us. That is how Jesus walked. That is how the early church walked. And that is how we are also to walk. You see, we know Scripture so very, very well, don't we? But I think it's applicable just to read this out in Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct your path." Here is what I was in many ways talking about earlier on. Our whole life and walk and waiting on God is so that we can be in that place of trusting Him with all our hearts. Here it is, faith, trusting God completely, which enables you then not to lean on your own understandings, in other words, your own emotions, your human logic and thinking, but you learn to acknowledge Him, talk with Him, direct it to Him, in other words, your will, not my will, and what is the promise? I will direct your paths. There you are. He says He will do it. But He never forces us. It is a willingness to do it His way. You see, your will can surrender in whatever situation. No matter how big or how small. Your will can surrender in any situation if you are willing to. When we have surrendered wills completely over to God, that is where our walk becomes supernatural, miraculous. It shouldn't happen. or you're not doing what the other people would do in a situation. We know when Jesus, on his betrayal, before he went to the cross, he was brought before Pilate. And as Isaiah said, he was like a sheep going to slaughter, not saying a word. He hardly said anything. He wasn't trying to defend himself. His will at that point was in harmony with the will of Almighty God. But that's not logical. He was there to be able to speak for himself. They wanted to hear his side of the story. That's what they do in court. But his side of the story was not going to be given. Now that takes a surrendering of your will to the will of God. That is not logical what he did. And this is why logic doesn't come into this. A surrendering of our will with the will of God is supernatural. And this is where miracles are wrought. This is where it is above man, above man's ways and thinking, his logic, all that he is. That's what we should be above. And we are above in the nature of sin. That's how it's accomplished. You serve, you get on with it, you do what the Lord shows you, and make no fuss. That is why in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So there, God shows in the Lord's Prayer a surrendering of two wills. And in our case, it is surrendering over to the will of God. So there's a harmony, there's a oneness, there's a fellowship in two wills coming together. Let's look at Luke 22 and verse 42. Luke chapter 22. And verse 42, which it says, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." So here we see Jesus, right through his ministry, right up to the end, right on the cross, he still has a choice. And in this, he realizes what the will of the Father is. And in his flesh, he says, "But not my will, thy will be done." I am convinced in the surrendering up of his will, the Holy Spirit, the angels minister to him at that point. The same as God does the same with us. Sometimes when we surrender our will to God and it's cost us, it's not been easy, you find afterwards then the Lord ministers to you. His presence is there. You feel the delight of your Heavenly Father in what you have chosen to do. In that doing his will, he lets it be known to you, brothers and sisters. So that was Jesus's will there. How about Paul's conflict of the will? He speaks much about this, doesn't he, in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. Romans 7 and verse 18. For he says here, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing is good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. And he goes on about the wills, the two wills in conflict. So we want to do good, but there is another will that hinders, that fights against doing the will of God. And that's where the enemy tries to use the flesh. But now we have a new nature. We are a new creation. Therefore, we can confidently confess now in Romans 8. And you know Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we desire, we wish to walk, we have an affection to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. God has put that within you and me. Else it won't work. And so when we do miss it, and we do, there is something within us that cries out to want to do the will of God. That's why it is important to get sin under the blood of the Lamb, to come before God, to walk in fellowship with him, to seek him daily in prayer, so that the will of God is being worked in and through us. We're not always aware of that, but that is ultimately what the Holy Spirit is doing. Because we're willful otherwise. We're rebellious. We also know, right through Scripture, the dealings and workings with man and his saints, that there appears to show a perfect and a permissive will of God. Sometimes God may allow us to go out of his perfect will for a season because he's chastening us, or he's dealing with us, or he wants to show you what is the best that he has for you. And you've chosen a path which will let you go so far, and you'll see that there's no blessing, no peace, no joy, and you come then back into the will of God, where then you find that peace, that blessing. Some have to learn that lesson, and it takes a time. But thank God for the mercy and love of God, because he has decreed his will, and thank God he has. That is why he's sovereign. Romans 12, verse 2. We know this well, don't we? Romans 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there's a perfect will of God. It's perfection. And that's the work he's doing with us. He's making us, working with us, perfect, perfection. Be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. There's a degree of perfection in this life that he's working with us. It is not sinless perfection. That can only be in glory. But there is a standard that God is working and looking for through the overcomers in this last day. And it is the will of God that works in this. How about Philippians? We know this one very well, but we will look at this as we're dealing with the will of God in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians 2, verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. That can only happen when you have settled and you have surrendered, you have made that transaction of your will over to God and leave it there, settle it, believe on this, then you have allowed him access into your life, your circumstances, in which then to work his will in your life. And he will. And he does. And he most certainly does it through the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That is why the Word of God is a revelation to us of God's will. When we read the scriptures, when we hear a teaching like this tonight, we are learning about God's perfect will for us. You see? Because we have handed over, we've surrendered our wills to him. Praise God. And finally, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21, where it says here, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. There we are. If you're having trouble with the will, you feel a bit willful, you're battling, there's two wills that are battling at the moment, well, here's a promise here. He says he'll make you complete in every good work to do his will. Who will? He will. Because he's sovereign. He's willed it. He has willed it over you and I, brothers and sisters, to do his will. He's decreed it. He's spoken it into being. And it will be done. Hold on. Believe that that's being accomplished in our lives, both individually and corporately. And it's on the basis that you have surrendered your will. This is why, as I close now, disciples have to settle it with God. They have to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. You have to hand it all over and leave it there. And after you do that, your walk isn't about you, what you want to do, your will, your life, your planning, you, whatever. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Almighty God who lives in me. In actual fact, what should come out of our hearts, I desire, I live to do the will of God. That is my life. That is my consecration. Nothing else matters other than the will of God. Can you believe that he can bring you to that place? Have you the faith for that? Why, we've just read it there in verse 20 of Hebrews. He will, if that's what you want. Yes, there may be trials. Yes, you may be tested. But what is new about that? That's God who works in us, both to will and do for his good pleasure. Is it not? Hallelujah. Praise God.